Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, everyone.
I love the wait for me now.
It's perfect. No, I address you first before the audience.
You're like, hello? Yes. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, November 19th. And we're expecting thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow.
Tonight.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Which I know, man. I'm looking forward to it. But you know what? I still don't believe it until I see it.
All right.
Because have you heard the song, It Never Rains in California?
No.
No?
No, you should play it.
There's a song. Yeah. I'll play it in a minute. It says It Never Rains in Southern California, and it's an old song.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't really, you know?
I've been here 3-4 months, and I haven't even seen a droplet at all.
No, not at all. Not even a droplet.
No, it rains like 4 times a week in New York.
No, it's not happening.
Yeah.
In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by 2 special guests. So if you want to check us out, you can go on Facebook, LA Talk Radio's page, and you'll see us on Facebook Live there. Should be a fun show today. And did you hear that do you like the Doobie Brothers? Do you know them?
Yeah, I know the Doobie Brothers.
Well, they're going to have a residence in Vegas now, and they're doing the 50th anniversary tour.
That's your favorite
That's
place.
50 or, yeah. And one of my favorite bands, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, 50 years, that dates me a little bit, but it's no secret.
Ages that old, I'm an nothing old but fart. A number.
I don't know. I don't agree with that. But 50 years ago, I was quite a different person. But the music lives on, and they're going to have Michael, what's his name? Michael McDonald. How did I forget that? Who was, he was like a singer. He joined them later on.
Okay.
So their music changed, you know, when he joined them and stuff. And now he's back with them after 25 years. So that's pretty exciting, too. So maybe that's a reason to go to Vegas
now, right? That is a reason to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Have some weekend plans.
I know. I'm trying to stay away as much as I can.
Yeah. But it's you can't not help happening. Yourself.
I know. The town is pulling me in.
Right? When does the tour start?
I don't know, soon, but I'm going to be in Vegas exactly a month from now. So,
amazing.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe I'll be able to see them. I don't know.
But cool.
I do remember seeing them in Vegas probably like 40 years ago, 45 years ago maybe.
Nice.
And
should put that on Vegas. A banner and hold it up in the crowd.
Yeah, because back then I lived in Vegas, so and they were performing there. So it was one of my favorite concerts ever, and I was just extremely excited to see them.
Yeah, who'd you go with?
I'd be damned if I remember friends, probably a girlfriend or something. I was like 16 or 17,
okay,
you know.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Right.
So, anyway, so Rain and Doobie Brothers, and that's pretty much it for today. And we're going to bring on our guest right now. And okay, it sounds a little weird here.
Let me
fix
echo.
The, right? Just a little bit. Okay, now I'm good.
Welcome.
Well, welcome to the show. Carmichael, I'm sorry, I just lost your page here, Josh. Welcome to the show,
hey,
Josh.
Thank you, Sam. How are you? Good
of
morning.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you brought a friend with you, Nancy.
I brought Nancy and Dreesen with me, yeah.
Nancy, you're sitting in the other room there. You need to get
close.
Help.
Yeah. Got
Nancy's new to radio, so she's not quite sure how to behave, but she'll be fine.
We'll make you
feel comfortable, Nancy. No problem.
Thank you.
But Josh does have a show here, and you help him produce it and everything, right?
That's right.
Josh, tell us a little bit about your show. It's called I'm So Vain.
It's called I'm So Vain because we deal with a lot of entertainment and creative types, and we think that the reason I came up with the title was I think everyone likes to talk about themselves.
That's true, they do.
So I think we all have a little vanity in us somewhere.
Right.
So
just a little, right?
Just a little.
I mean,
yeah.
If you want to look at selfies, that'll tell you our kind of society. It's a little more than vain. It's narcissistic.
Narcissistic now, yeah.
Right.
Like that
it's beyond vain now.
That family in India that died trying to take the selfie.
Right.
Remember that? I think
from
that was one
dam.
Of our first shows we did together. We talked about that.
Oh,
right.
No. They
fell off the
selfie
side of something.
Yeah. They were on the dam, and they all fell, like five people
fell off. Did they get the shot, though?
That's what I want to know. I want to see the footage.
I don't know if they found the phone.
That's awful. That is awful.
Yeah, it's really awful.
If you're doing that, you need to plan ahead with that one.
Yeah.
So you may have to change your show to I'm So Narcissistic eventually.
Yeah. Well, you know,
to fit the times.
I think we do have some narcissistic people on at times, but you know, that's what it's all about, though. You know, you think, but think about this: if you're talking about yourself in a positive way, you know, that's self-esteem, that's confidence. So that's really what I kind of based it on. I'm like, I want people to be confident and come in, and we try to motivate other people and inspire other people by that confidence. You know, like people being, you know, that have been in the business for, you know, decades or, you know, several years or accomplished in some way. So that's really the essence behind it, you know,
right.
to bring in, you know, to give, you know, the viewers and the listeners something to, you know, either something to consider or a guide, maybe a roadmap or some ideas. Like Jen and I was talking before, uh-huh. you know, the show, and we're talking about acting and backgrounds and stuff like that. And there, it doesn't matter like where you've studied or where you come from. There's a instant connection to people in the craft or in that business, so that we can give each other little insight. So that's really where it is.
So your background is in entertainment, right? You're an actor. What else have you done?
I've written, directed. I just wrote a new book.
We'll talk about that too. Congratulations,
self-help book, a self-motivational book.
Uh-huh.
It definitely changes people's lives. So that's pretty cool.
We all need some self-motivation.
Yeah. So I'm coaching it and teaching it, and I've been coaching for about 10 years. I coach mostly actors, but I did some executive training, and I've coached people from, you know, a real estate business and how to sell and how to promote their products to, uh-huh. you know, to beginning actors straight out of high school, basically. So, but now I've been a writer. I mean, I started as a military veteran, so I started in the military. That kind of got my career started. I kind of got discovered in the military, and then...
Yeah, what did you do in the military?
I was, this is a kind of a... I can't talk about it.
Okay.
Secret
chip. Yeah.
But I was
probably like Delta Force.
I was intelligence specialist.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So wow. I dealt with a lot of stuff that literally you wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Really?
So
some secrets.
I saw a lot of stuff that, you know, that was at a few good men when he says you can't handle the truth, you know, uh-huh. that famous quote.
Right.
That's exactly to kind of the way it is. If I told you, you know, if I told you the truth, you'd be like,
really?
Wouldn't believe it. But,
wow.
You know, most people couldn't handle the truth because of the deceit and the stuff that goes on behind that.
What period was that? What years were those?
I was in from, I'm older as well.
Well, aren't we all?
I like to pretend to be younger.
Exactly.
But,
no, but I really want to put it in perspective of what was happening in the world.
No, I was in from 1985 to 89. So I got out before
Cold War,
Desert
right before
Storm
the end of
stuff,
Cold War.
I think. Desert Storm, they, as like 1991, I think.
91.
And they called me back. I thought I was going to have to go back in. I was like so bummed. I was out here. I was already working as an actor. And excuse me, I got this call one day. And
So they just drafted you?
It was the
draft.
When you sign up, you actually sign up for an 8-year program.
So you did sign up. It wasn't like
a forced
draft.
Yeah, I volunteered.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm a small town kid from Kansas. And I was I was an artist as a kid as well, so I had an art scholarship to go to school, and I didn't really like the school choices, and so a lot of my family's in the military, and I had a uncomfortable home situation. Let's leave it at that, and that's a whole other story.
Yeah,
and,
you were from a military family,
and pretty much, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So then I just said, "Hey, I'm getting the hell out of Dodge," and I took off. I'm literally from Dodge City, Kansas, so I got the hell out of Dodge.
Really,
good for
literally.
You. It's hard to uproot and just leave.
I just left,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It was
yeah.
the greatest thing I ever did because it got me not only got me out of that small town mentality, which I never, you know, when you're creative and you have a broader mind.
Right.
Or mindset, or you have ideas, and you know, a creative personality. You don't really fit in that small town world.
Leave,
so
yeah.
Your mind's only as small as you let it be.
That's
you
know?
Very true. So
absolutely.
You know, I was fortunate I got out, and that really changed my world.
And where did you move from there?
I went to New York. I was in Norfolk, Virginia. So in 1989, I caught the first flight I could to New York, and
wow.
I showed up with I had no place to stay. It was great. I had my sea bag, all my stuff, and had all my money in my sea bag, and I found a place to stay for the first night. I think I stayed in a hotel, and then the next day I found an apartment. I was very lucky.
That's neat.
Those were interesting times.
One day.
Yeah, no, it was,
the
it
Soviet
was,
Union fell that year, 1989. During interesting times.
Oh, it was amazing because I felt like I kind of grew up in New York because it was such an educational. I lived there for about a year. The first, you know, I've lived there a couple of times, but that was my first real time, and then I moved to L.A. But that really is so educational because I, you know, even though I'd been around the world in the military, there's nothing like living in New York and as you're talking, living and breathing and every day to day to day to world and the people you encounter. I mean, L.A. and New York are two different animals.
Right, but coming from a small town, you were probably like culture shock and everything.
You know, I wasn't as much as I thought I would
really?
Be. I was like, wow, I fit in here. Okay. Because everybody, because I was more like them. I mean, I thought like them. I was creative, you know, and people were like, whatever. And I was really, aggressive. Like people said, hey, you need to go take this class. I would sign up the next day. Mm-hmm. I was a doer. I've always been a doer. Like, okay, I got to do that. I got to do that. And it just, you know, I signed up Circle in the Square. And it's a huge school there. And everybody goes, you gotta be on a waiting list for 6 months to get in. I got in like a month and a half.
Ah, congratulations.
And I was like, I kept calling every day. I'm like, go show it up.
Is you
it
have
open
to
yet?
Be
is
that way
yet?
In this business.
You'll get her, huh?
And I got in.
You have to be aggressive. You have to.
I studied with Bill Hickey, if you remember.
Okay. I know the name.
He's, he's passed on since then, but he was like the guru to go to.
You said he worked with Esper?
What's that?
Did you say he worked with Esper? Did I hear that? Did I just hear that?
No, you just heard that.
Yeah,
I didn't hear that. I'm like, what is she talking
from?
Nancy, where are you originally from?
I'm from...
You need to get closer.
Hello. Yeah. I'm from Newbury Park. And
here in California.
Yeah. I grew up out here.
Amazing.
California my whole
life.
An
LA native, pretty much.
Cali girl.
Yeah,
that's cool. What was growing up here for you? Was it pretty nice?
Oh, I loved it. It was. It's such a safe area, the area that I grew up in. And then I moved away for college just up to Orange County and then came back. And
oh, wow. What school did you go to, Irvine?
No, I went to Orange Coast College.
Oh, okay. So, very cool. But you get to get away from L.A.
Yeah,
a little bit.
For a short time.
And then what did you study there?
Ultrasound.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I do ultrasound as
so
well.
Is that what you do now?
A little bit. Kind of. It's gotten a little less this last couple years, so I still have
been doing it for like 20 years.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 19 years.
Really? Wow. So what do you have to do? Is it like with pregnant women and things like that?
Yeah, well, I do everything. I do vascular studies a lot. So we do carotid arteries, legs, looking for blood clots.
Yeah. Which is what I just went through. I went through stroke last month. Yeah,
that's right.
So you know stuff like that.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I did that for the last 19 years for Lakeside and for an urgent care and then medical sales. And then I kind of fell into this producing role.
Oh, wow. Did you like it? I mean, do you like being in the medical field?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. What was your first start in producing? How'd you get into that?
Well, I kind of... fell into that.
Yeah, she met Josh. And she did.
She kind of fell in. I needed a producer, and I was like, hey, you want to do this? And that's how it kind of started. And, you know, and the cool thing is, if you don't mind me, I'll speak for you. She's branching out now, so I think the producing is kind of her calling, so to speak. So she's really liking it a lot, and she's branching out to other people and maybe doing some commercial production and stuff. So she's learning more, learning the biz more so she can advance it, you know.
Right.
Right.
But you guys knew each other before that, right? Yeah, she's being shy. But
I'm sorry.
No, you see, it's because you don't have the headphones on.
Yeah.
If you did, you would know you're sitting far, but that's okay.
Just feel like the mic is your friend.
I put my arms around it so it keeps me in place.
Yeah, you just like, this is your hub.
Yeah,
you're like,
right.
Just feel like you're talking to him.
But how long ago did you guys meet?
A year ago.
About a year ago.
Wow, so it's pretty fresh. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Right.
So, Josh,
seems like longer than that.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Well,
when you know
when
certain people, it feels like that, you know.
Right.
I met a friend in a summer acting class in July, and she's like one of my closest friends. It's like insane. I've only known her for a couple of months.
Yeah, when you connect to people, that's right. the thing. You know, it's like I met you a couple other times before right. I came, because I was, I think, a guest here a couple of times. But we felt like we knew you right away, too. Right, you know, right. It's like one of those.
So when did the idea for the show come up for you?
You know, I had an idea about 5 years ago. Honestly, I was going to do a co-host show. I had I had a woman who was going to do the show with me last year, and then I kind of put it on hold. And then I had a documentary company come to me and say, "We want to create a documentary about you." And I'm like, "Well, what if we come up with a show?" So I came up with a different show idea. And so for less like 2 years ago, so for all of last year, we were going back and forth with contracts. They were in New York or they were in Brooklyn. Right. And that kind of eventually just kind of fell apart.
How did they find you? I mean, were you like famous or something?
I am kind of famous.
Oh, okay. But, I meant back then.
I mean, I don't guess you haven't done your Google search. But
I'm
out there, Sam. I've done a lot of work, you know, in the business.
I have 30 years.
I have a plethora. I mean, to give you a little of my resume, I've done over 200 national, international commercials that I've starred in. That's my biggest, you know, call to action. I've done, you know, several.
So people knew you from that, right?
People knew me from
a familiar face.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on TV all the time. You know, you just don't know my name, but
I don't watch TV. That's why.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm on television right now.
I seldom watch TV.
Right now, we're probably on. You know, but you know, So I did that, and I did some guest star stuff years ago that got some, you know, some claim. I've won awards in L.A. theater. I've won like 12 awards here in L.A., the Drama Critics Circle Award and stuff like that for theater. So I was a big theater guy for about 10 years, and it was, you know, part of a couple of companies. And then I've written and directed my own films where I've won, you know, some festivals and stuff over the years. So I have a decent following and a decent, you know, resume for that. And it's funny, I always say, like, I'm more popular in Texas than I am here, you know, because I've done some work in Texas, and I used to speak there a lot. And I go to Texas, and they always, like, you know, they send a limo for you. It's like, yeah, the way it used to be.
Yeah.
So,
but theater, you studied in New York?
No, I studied here. I did my first play, actually. Oh. First play ever.
Because I know in New York, people do a lot of theater and
it's
stuff.
It's more theater-based, yeah.
Theater's bigger. I don't know.
It's a lot of independent.
I heard there's
film
more
now.
Theaters in L.A. than there are in New York, technically.
Really?
And I did, you know, I did non-equity stuff because I don't really sing. That's everything out here was musical for equity, it seemed like. And so I wasn't really the equity guy. So I did all the, you know, the non-union plays. But we, you know, it was great. I was fortunate to be in some amazing shows where we were sold out for, you know, 6 months and stuff. So we would just get extended and, you know, I did a couple of revival plays that my first play actually was The Boys in the Band. We did a 25th anniversary of this famous play that was on Broadway back in the day. And they just last year, it was the 50th anniversary, that's how long it's been, or 2 years ago. And they did it on Broadway again. And we won, it's just a crazy story. We won like every award that year for like revival play of the year and best cast and all that. And then the coolest part about that is my first play in L.A. I'm young. I'm 25 years old. And Rod Stewart rented out the theater one night for it was all celebrities. Uh-huh. So the entire 120 seats or whatever it was every face in television, film, and everything. And there's Rod Stewart and Rachel Hunter, I believe, at the time, right in, like, second row. And I'm sitting downstage right there, and I'm going, this is so surreal. I'm performing for everybody that I've watched growing up in my life. Mm-hmm. And so it was, for me as a kid, I mean, I had to contain myself because I'm like, I got to stay in character. I got to stay here. But I could kind of, my character would look out at the audience, you know, so I really, like, I could see everyone. So that was very surreal for me.
Yeah.
That was, and then after the show, everybody comes up to you because it's a small house, and they're like, I'm telling you how great you were. And I'm going, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm nothing. This is my first play. No, you don't say that, but you know, you're going, wow, this is pretty wonderful when Rod Stewart's shaking your hand, like, great performance.
Absolutely.
And people, you know, iconic people, and I'm like, wow. So that was fun. Yeah.
When did you move to LA?
I moved out here January of 1990. So
okay.
I got out early 89, moved to New York, and then I came out here. I'd actually auditioned for, started telling Jen about this, that I auditioned for a feature film out of New York. One of the people in the restaurant said, hey, you got to audition for this, you know, kind of thing, you know, mm-hmm. the way,
oh yeah,
excuse me, the way New York is. And I auditioned for it, and they said, hey, we want you to come and read in LA. And so they paid for me to come out. I came out, I stayed for about 3 days, read, I did a table read. Again, it was shocking. This is like all celebrities, it's like doing, you
yeah,
know,
the dream, right there.
And me, and I'm like, hello. I wasn't very secure in my acting yet then, you know, I was just beginning. And they like, we really like you, we want to, you know, cast you in this role. And I'm like, okay. So I went back for like a month and packed up and moved out. So
yeah, very
and
cool.
Stayed.
Have you had any interest in entertainment?
Well,
like getting into acting,
yeah,
things like that.
Behind the scenes, I did a little bit of driving team things early in the 90s as well. So I was with the Bondelli driving team, which was kind of fun. So I did, you know, behind the scenes things there too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really have a big interest in that. I'd much rather be behind the scenes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So now what do? You get the guests and everything, you arrange everything for the show?
Yeah.
And
I set up everything and meet with them and start promoting them and get everything online.
Yeah, and she also handles like we just hired a social media person. They're starting today.
Yeah,
actually,
I'm
but
really excited about.
Nancy's been doing that, you know, doing all the posting and stuff. So she's gonna have help with that. But she's really good at organizing, and you know, as you guys probably know, what it's like to keep the guests together and get them here and get them on time. So it's great. It takes a lot of pressure off of me.
Yeah.
She does all of that.
You know, with anybody in entertainment, things change, and we have to sometimes get a new guest right away to fill the spot. So we've been doing that.
It's so much go with the flow in this business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, everybody's, we had a couple people and it's understandable, you know, they like, hey, I got an audition tomorrow.
Yeah.
And one guest, it was like one of our first, it was like our second or third guest. And he's an actor. And he said, I got to work on my lines and I'm not going to be able to make it. I said, what time is your appointment? Come in, I'll help you. So I read lines of them after the show.
Oh, wow.
He was like 15 minutes late. Remember that was the one that was 15 minutes late.
Right.
And then we read lines for like 30 minutes or 20 minutes after the show and to help him out. But, you know, how it is, it's like when you're working with the entertainment people, we've had a few people get gigs and cancel or postpone. So so Nancy stays on top of that, which is really good.
You know, we work with them and move it around a little bit.
Yeah, awesome.
Just the territory.
So if you guys want to, before we go on, if you want to watch Josh and Nancy's work and stuff, the show is I'm So Vain, and it comes on right after this show today. It's Tuesdays at 11 on the video channel, so you can catch it on our app, on our website, on Facebook, and then you put it on YouTube as well.
We have YouTube, just I'm So Vain on YouTube. So, it's there after.
So that's very cool, so you guys don't have to miss a show. And if I do say so myself, I enjoy your shows.
Oh, do you?
You know, you
have
great.
You're just saying that because we're live.
Guests.
I know it.
Why?
I'm kidding.
Thank you, Sam.
No, listen, I do
Sam's
a lot
no
of
bullshit.
Thank you so much.
I do a lot of shows here, but I don't get to watch or listen to everything. You know, I mean, sometimes I do things, I get busy, but no, I mean, your show is interesting, you know, I mean, you get into the guests' careers and lives and everything.
We tried to get to the heart of it, you know. It's funny, we had our guest last week, Nancy was saying, well, how did you get her to cry? And I go, well, I wasn't trying to make her cry, I was just, I just asked a personal question about her life and her past, and her name was Kelly Mack, and she came from Saigon, and she was one of the boat people that came over, and her family, and literally came over in a boat and struggled and fought to her grandparents and parents to survive. So it really affected her, you know. So I like to get to the heart of people, you know. I like to ask personal questions so that we.
I did too, and then you told me don't ask Nancy personal questions.
Well, I
don't know. It's a double standard.
Well, no, it's like I was just telling you. I was protecting her.
I just didn't want to do the deer
headlights.
She's
like,
that's
you
okay.
Know,
I'm curious as to how you guys met, though. How did you meet?
Oh,
on a train.
Really?
Yeah, she likes to say that. Now we met. He just got laid out, and we met on a dating app,
right?
So of all things, which
that's what I figured you'd say, because most people do meet like that.
This world, who would have ever thought? Who needs a dating app? We really don't. But it was
It's cool. It helps you find people that you wouldn't normally run into. You know,
it's like busy lives
in a good and a bad way.
Yeah. Have you had bad experiences with
that? Oh yeah, I've had a lot of. I would say weird experiences. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so. I started writing a film about it a couple years ago, because I went on and I would just read the things that people say to you before they ever meet you, and I went, wow.
I would love to sit down and give you some great I have a lot of ammo.
So I thought of this like comedy. I could make a comedy out of it, you know. So I started writing a screenplay about it. I can't talk about it yet, 'cause it's not finished. But it was like a cool concept, because it's like it. The dating experience, not like 50 dates or something like that. It was just like, it was about a couple and going on dating apps. And I was like, it's crazy. We talked about the story. She's had some weirder people than I have, because women are aggressive. I'll say that. I had some really aggressive women, like, just before I ever met them.
I call that keyboard courage.
Oh, that's a good point. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, until you meet them, right?
Until you meet them, and then they're super weird and awkward.
Well, not only that, but, you know, I had several people that I met, and they put pictures on that were, you know, 10 years old, and then you go, and they look nothing like
that. Well, one guy was really short, too. Nancy's 5'11", so anybody short, really, for her. But,
except you, of course.
I'm 6'1", so I made it.
There you go.
But, so the guy was like 5'6" or something. You said he was shorter than he said he was. So that's got to be a little, hello.
That's kind of difficult when you have such differences in height and stuff, right? So, I mean, was that like a requirement that you put up?
It was for me.
It just worked for you, though.
It was for me. I put 5'9" and above.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He likes tall women.
Yeah, I just like tall women.
No, I, you know, it's all about the person more than anything. But then, you know, his looks didn't.
Screw that.
Weren't exactly bad.
Make me run.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about the book.
Oh, yeah.
It's called The Process Code.
Unlocking Your Past to Live Your Future.
Okay.
Take all that in. There's some deep stuff.
So this
right
one just came out?
Yeah, it just came out. It's available on Amazon right now.
Congratulations.
And,
we
just launched last week. And
how long did it take to write for you?
You know, I wrote it over the summer, but I started it about 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So I'm one of those guys, like, I'm an idea man. I'll have an idea. I like the show and stuff, you know, and then I didn't really finish that story. But when I figured out this year, I said, I got to do a show. Uh-huh. And then I thought of you and came to the studio. So just to wrap that one up. That's how it kind of came about, and we changed. And then one day I was just thinking of names, and I'm going, oh, I'm so vain, I'm vain, and vanity, you know. And then the phrase, I'm so vain, unlike You're So Vain by Carly Simon, you know, I'm so vain. So I thought, let's make it about the people, not about me, but about you, or, you know, the people I'm interviewing.
Right.
So the book has been, this is kind of like 30 years in the making, and I know it's not a super thick book, but it's a workbook.
It's easier to deal with when it's not so thick.
No,
yeah,
you
that's
don't
what
get
I wrote it.
From it.
I wrote it to be a quick overview or a quick study to inspire people and to get them motivated. So then they have to do the work. So you either have to continue the process on your own, or, you know, hire me to coach you to do that, which is what I do. Or I wrote a companion that's a journal, so you keep journaling every day so that you get it. And basically, the process code is, you know, we all have our history and our past and our crap. Can I say shit?
You can
on
say
here?
Shit too.
Okay, can I say shit on here?
I definitely.
So we all have our junk, our stuff, and our history that. You know, maybe we're not aware of it, but we're still holding on to some of that. So I've talked about this on my show, I grew up with a violent alcoholic father. So that was one of my biggest issues. So I had to overcome that. You know, I was put down, I was criticized my entire life until I got away, the reason I went to the Navy.
Wow.
So when I got away, I realized, wow, I'm not such a bad person. I'm not, you know, I had to recreate my self-esteem. I had to rebuild that. So when I wrote the process code, I even had to go back and have conversations with my father in my mind, but I visualize it in a way, and I created kind of a process, for lack of a better term, to go back and acknowledge that and see that as, that's not me, that's him, that's his stuff, you know. And, you know, psychology 101 will tell you that, but it really gets you to confront it and not fear it. So, you know, we create all these fears and all these, you know, the reason you're not as successful as you want to be because your parents didn't want you to be successful or because they weren't, or, you know, people put you down for being, this is me, you know. I was like, every time I got, I mean, I was quote unquote famous by the time I was 25 years old. So I was on television all the time. Everybody in my family thought I was, you know, this, because I was on television, because I was doing interviews and I was traveling and just doing all this stuff. Nobody talked to me anymore. They all, like, really? Disowned me. It was the weirdest thing because they didn't
want to see you succeed.
They didn't want to see me successful.
Because really? It just
really
reminded
sad.
Them of where they're at.
Yeah. And it's, so it's now shocking. They, like, I go to, yeah, I've gone to, you know, not every time, but, you know, I have some great family members, but they're, you know, there's a majority of them out there that I just deleted one a week ago. Mm-hmm. They make negative stuff on Facebook or whatever really? Because it's out of their insecurity, their jealousy, instead of in other words, they can't be happy for me, and they can't be, and they're not happy in their lives, and so they can't be happy for me. So I've learned to deal, you know, so I've had to learn to deal with a lot of hate, a lot of negativity in my life. So I wrote the process code excuse me, to help others, and really it, you have to go back to move forward. So we have to unlock the past, basically, to move forward with that, healing that old wound, or going back and, like, if you were bullied in school, or, you know, if you're beaten up, or you had older brothers or sisters or whatever it was, you got to go back and deal with that, because it's probably still affecting why you are where you are at this moment in your life.
That's true, and you got to sort of break away from it so you can move on.
Mm-hmm.
Have
exactly.
you confronted your dad at all, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I took my power back a long time ago, really? But it took me, I was 20, I think I was 26 years old, and I took my power back. And, I'll be honest, my original plan was to beat him up, was to hurt him badly, to physically beat him up. So when I went to the Navy, I was going to go back because that was going to last the last straw. I said, I'm gonna go back and
right.
and take out my dad, basically, yeah, wow. and take back that. I thought that's as a young kid, I'm like,
yeah,
I thought that's how you did it. So at 18, 19 years old, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna get big. I'm gonna whatever. My dad's a big. He was a big man.
Right.
And so yeah, I took my power back. I went back and I confronted him, and he had no idea what I was talking about.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
He denied everything, you know, and
well, he was probably a result, a victim of his childhood, you know.
Yeah, and absolutely.
That's usually the case, you know.
Right.
And they bring it with them, and you sort of like have to understand that. And also, when they're sometimes the you know a person does not have the opportunity to actually go back and deal with a parent if the parent is dead
right,
or whatever.
Right.
So you need to know how to work it out without. Talking to that person.
Exactly. That's what I wrote in the book. It's called The Toolbox. So I give you the tools to go back and, you know, it's my father. I you know, I've forgiven him and I've moved on from it. And I take the stuff that I did learn from him as a blessing, you know, and I go, wow, he did teach me this or he affected me in that way. And I go, that's a blessing, man. The reason I'm an actor is because of him. You know, the reason I'm a creative being is because I got put down so much that it made me, I'm a fighter, you know, I come up fighting. So, I give you know the people the tools to, like, you know, how do you confront somebody that doesn't have the tools or doesn't understand? So you have to go back to them in a different way, or maybe you don't physically, if they're not physically here, if you say the parents have passed, then you have to figure out the tools for yourself,
right?
How to tap into that so you can release it for yourself. Because we do harbor that shit, you know? We do as people. This is normal.
Absolutely. And if you don't deal with it, it comes out in a lot of different ways.
I mean,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Acting is always, I always said, has been the best therapy I've ever had, but we don't do it every day.
Mm-mm.
So your therapy is, you know, intermittent. It's not consistent. So you have to figure out another way in life. And that's why I wrote this. It's kind of a, you know, it's like a journal. It's like journaling. Write down, you know, what, you know, what's a, how are you feeling today? How many people ask you on a daily basis, Sam, how do you feel?
Right. Not many.
I do.
Not many.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, usually it's like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? It doesn't even create a natural response. That's just a, right. That's a canned expression, right?
Right.
So what I try to do is I try to get in touch with people and go, how do you feel? You know, it's like when I talk to my kids, well, they're going through something. Well, how does that make you feel when it happens?
Right, right.
I know it's an acting thing or a miser thing or whatever, but it's, but that's the truth of it. So if we can get to that, how do you feel? And as a man, to be in touch with your feelings and to be in touch with your vulnerability, that's an incredible feeling. You know, then it's not that angst and anger and violence. It's like, oh, I understand now.
And to give an honest response, too. You know, so many people are like, yeah, I'm good, I'm great, I'm great. But really, they're like...
But then you ask them...
What's that?
For some reason, he talks to people and they open up to him immediately. Like, you'll see grown, big men, like, break down and open up about things with him. It's crazy. I've seen it.
That's a superpower right there.
Because he says, like... How are you? And then they say something, and then he goes, no, but really, how are you? And then it's like,
everything. We're all called out, like, you know, why are you, you know, why are you, what, you know, I've diffused a lot of fist fights that way, like,
yeah,
hey, what's up, buddy? You know, what's really going on, you know?
There's always something behind
it. Did your wife leave you? Or are you mad? Did you have too much to drink tonight? You know, you might want to chill out, whatever. And it's amazing, but when you get to when you really care about people, which I do, and you look them, you know, you look them in the eyes, which we don't do as much now, and you ask them, and a lot of times, like you're saying, I think a lot of people don't want to deal with their stuff, and so they go, excuse me, like, I'm fine, I'm good, but then you know that's not true,
I'm not trying to make him feel worse,
I'm not trying to break you down or make you cry, I'm trying to get you to say, you know what, even just owning up to, I don't feel that great today. So and then get a little deeper, like, what's going on? Well, it could be I didn't sleep last night. It could be that simple. Okay, I didn't sleep last night. I'm not feeling well, but I'm going out into the day. But if somebody asks me, I may break down. I may lose it. That's okay. Right. It's okay for that. You know, we as people, we start, well, I got to be on. I got to be this. I got to be that. No. We just have to be ourselves. We just have to be here. You know, we just have to be present. So that's really what it's about. Long version, Sam, of my book.
Awesome. Well, people need to know what it's about.
It's
the book is The Process Code. You can get it on Amazon. Do you have a website also where you?
JoshCarmichael.com.
Okay, and then people can get it there as well.
Absolutely.
Awesome, and you guys can see the show, past, present, episodes, and everything on YouTube on your website too. You put the stuff on your website?
Good.
So it's everywhere. You know, I mean, you can find Josh just about everywhere. you guys also have your own kids, right?
Yeah.
We have kids.
Are they grown and everything?
I have a 19-year-old, 17-year-old, and a 14-year-old.
Wow.
So one in
college. So that keeps you busy.
Yeah, one senior in high school, and one's a freshman in high school.
Wow, how cool.
Yeah.
Are they boys, girls?
Two boys and a girl. My oldest is a girl.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's amazing. Awesome.
Got a girl
it's nice
in
when
the
they
house.
Grow up a little older, right?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I have two boys, 19 and 17, so we have kids similar age.
Yeah, but, similar ages. Age. That's cool.
Do they get along?
They're not around one another very much, but they do get along, from their minimal. So when my
I know
oldest
at that
son,
age,
it's
never
like
around.
I rarely see my oldest son. He's like, come on, he has a girlfriend. He has a life now. So it's like we talk a lot. But we don't have the FaceTime as we used to. So,
Do they talk to you on the phone or is it texting mostly?
It's mostly texting,
right? Yeah. I mean, they won't talk to you on the phone.
I'll go give me a call.
I don't know what
give
it is with these guys.
I call my mom all the time. Yeah, I'm a big phone person.
I talked to my youngest son last night. I'm like, call me because the texting I can't stand.
Right.
Yeah. And I love talking. You know, I love hearing their voice. So it's like I'm not with them. It's,
my son tries to text me from upstairs most of the time.
Yeah.
Mom, dinner ready?
Yeah.
Then you don't answer, and then it's, well, Mom.
Well, we were talking to somebody the other day, and like, that's their communication and their friend base is through the games and through the gaming world now. Mm-hmm. It's so huge, and we're,
right.
I know you're younger, you might understand it more than we do, but I don't.
But she's more on the phone than texting, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My best friend and I, we talk on the phone like 4 times a week. I talked to him this morning on the phone, yesterday morning on the phone, on my commute.
I mean, texting is for short things. It's not for conversation. I don't get these kids, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Right. My mom sends me these columns sometimes. I'm like, just send it in a few different messages. I can't. It's so daunting to look at that whole message.
Yeah.
Like, I can't read this.
And if you don't answer it like correctly, it keeps going, right? And they're like, oh, as my mom will do that. And I'm like, yeah, it's great. Yeah. Well, you liked it, right? And then she goes on, this, it goes on and on and on and on. I'm like, I'm just going to call her.
Yeah.
And this is never going to end. I'm like, I'm trying to work, Mom.
Or else they put like LM, what is it?
LMAO.
Yeah. And then so I'm trying to decode everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does that
There's
mean?
A bunch
what does this
of new
mean?
One,
I have to
look
up half of it.
You know, as a 31-year-old, I find myself needing to decode as well for the things that like the 20-year-olds are talking about. Like I was hanging out with some kids from my class the other day and they were like 20 or 19 and like 24. And they were saying, like, all these, like, acronyms. I'm like, what does that even mean? They're like, oh, you're old. I'm like, I'd rather be my age than your age any day.
Yeah, it's all relative, you know?
Isn't that funny? You don't want to go, but, like, would you want to go back and be a kid now?
I would not
world?
Relive my 20s.
No, I wouldn't either.
Unless there was, like, a large sum of money involved.
Well, or unless, you could take all the knowledge that you have now and put it back in that body.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. That would be a different experience, but you would be more cautious, you know, you wouldn't be as gutsy.
Yeah, then you'd just be you, just in a younger body.
And I don't think childhood today is the same as it was for us, you know.
No.
And even for you, you know.
Yeah.
Because you lived through period
VHS,
before,
cassette tapes.
Right, before internet and everything, you know.
13-year-olds
so you know
don't
what
even
it's like. Yeah.
Know what a
Do you remember VHS?
Yeah. I remember we used to tape shows off TV and just to make sure that no one could record over your taping, there was
that
little
tab,
square.
Yeah, that's right, definitely. Pull the black, that little black tab out.
Like, today everything's streamed and you don't have to buy anything, you know. I mean, sometimes I would enjoy just buying a record or a CD or a movie or something, but now there isn't any, you know. I mean,
I know, I was thinking about the other day of putting a CD in my car and listening to my, like, you know, an old. I don't have any CDs anymore.
Is there
like,
even a place to put it?
Now I got to go buy CDs to like play, and it's like, oh, but I have Pandora, or you know, I just.
Or but the buying process was part of
it
the
was
fun,
nice
you
to
know.
Have the collection,
it
right?
It was so
exactly,
exciting
you know?
Until you got home and you had to peel the paper off, and then there was that stupid adhesive
that,
at the top.
That safety thing
that would just like rip your nails to shreds every time, and there was on both sides. It was a mess.
Right.
Never got it off
get
fully.
It out.
Yes, every time you touched it,
don't
scratch it. It was a little sticky.
Don't scratch it. The LP, you know.
Exactly. But you also have a physical record of it. You can have a library and shelves. No, you have nothing, you know. Nothing, man.
It's all digital,
and it's,
man.
Yeah, you know, and with the streaming, there's so many that I start watching something for 5 minutes and that's it, you know. I move on to the next one because there's just so much, you know.
Well, they say that's our attention spans are so much less now because of, you know, you're on the computer. I know I have at least 10 tabs open on my computer right now. On my phone, I have like 4 different apps open. Mm-hmm. There's just so much going on that they're saying it has actually affected our attention span.
Yeah.
So,
I heard it's
probably.
Like literally 3 seconds now on video.
That's
like,
what a goldfish has
that's
too.
It.
Scientifically, that's a goldfish.
Oh, I'm at that end of the bowl. Yeah. I got to go over.
Yeah, let's turn
so
around.
So we're goldfish? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Except we can speak a different language.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What would a goldfish sound like, I wonder?
Like I'm Finding Nemo or something, right? Yeah.
Oh my god, it'd be so cute.
Do you ever like make up voices for your animals?
Oh my god, all day.
Right?
Like, whenever I'm at my mom's house with my cats, like she gets so mad at me the voices that I make for my cats. She's like, "Why do you have to make that voice?" I'm like, "It's their voice." She's like, "Did they tell you that?" I'm
exactly,
like,
"Exactly,
yeah,
I speak cat or dog."
Yeah.
I do all the time. Like every morning, I'm talking for the dog. I'm like,
that's
really?
Also being
oh,
an
that's
actor.
What you want. Oh, you think you? Yeah,
he goes
okay.
Downstairs and nobody's there, and I hear him talking.
She's like, "Who are you talking to?" I'm like,
this.
"The dog."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
"Hello."
Okay.
Well, he looks at you. You know what he's saying. Come on.
Oh, you know.
I just have the voice in my head.
He definitely has a look that
definitely. Oh, I get. I speak dog. Yeah.
I thought I was so alone on that until I became an actor. And And then when I got into voiceover acting, I was like, oh, these are my people right here.
Yeah.
Everyone's just walking around the room like, and I'm like, yeah.
That's good.
Well, so good.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. You've been a lot of fun. I want to play that song for you since it's probably going to rain,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Totally.
So you guys probably know that, right? Have you heard this song before?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, I know this song.
It's Eagles, yeah, right?
No, that's Albert Hammond, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It sounds like Eagles stuff.
Yeah. Westbound 747.
Yeah, let me just go.
Rang true. Sure and true. Seems it never rains in Southern California.
Is it? Which is true, you know, it doesn't so rain here, man. So I'm looking forward to a nice thunderstorm. They're saying it's going to be pretty,
it's going
to drench us. So,
oh, that's
yeah,
so exciting.
That'd be nice. Tonight, yeah, starting tonight, tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know, that's the only time my car gets clean.
I know, a free car wash. I'm so excited.
Except rush hour traffic is probably going to be miserable for everybody, you know,
yeah,
because people...
They once get one drop of rain here.
Right,
and
drop of rain and people go crazy.
They
you
stop.
Know?
Yeah. They just stop in the middle of the freeway.
Either that
no
or they go too fast.
They
too
don't know what to do.
Slow,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why do people think when it rains, it's like they're like, oh, okay, it's the best time right now to just go really fast and just like hit my brakes last second. I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea.
Or it's the best time to just go shopping now.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody gets on the freeway at the same time. And like, what? Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a magical miracle and everyone will be off the road.
Ooh. Well, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, and it'll only
I'd rather stay
like
home
hour
when it rains. But
it's the best time to start a light
man
a fire.
Get some takeout.
Right.
It's a good time to read a book.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We need more
read
of this.
Read an actual book. You know?
Read an actual real book, not a Kindle. Or
oh, yeah. I got my friend got me an Amazon tablet and he got me Kindle on it too. And I read a couple books on it. It was great, but I miss like getting a book and smelling the book.
Right.
Like the smell of like an old book.
You see,
you
you're
know
a true reader, so you appreciate it.
I love that
I'm
smell
the same way. I mean, I had a Kindle and I don't use
people
it
don't
anymore. I just buy books, you know.
I have them on my phone too, and I downloaded a couple books and I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
It's not the same.
Audible, I could
it's
do an Audible book
feeling
maybe, but
it'd
be good to maybe listen to one, but I can't do that.
I gotta say, it was nice when I lived in New York to use the tablet because, you know, you're always like rummaging through your bag.
Yeah.
So my books would get destroyed in my bag. So I'd almost rather.
Plus, you'd
read
have
at
to
home
carry several of them. It gets heavy and everything.
Yeah. I mean, you're always schlepping
that's
at
true
least five bags minimum.
Yeah.
In New York,
in New York. Yeah. Here you put everything in your car.
Everything's
I
your
know
car and
it's
you can
amazing
find it.
Yeah.
Well, Josh Carmichael and Nancy Andreessen, right?
Andreessen, yes.
Thank you so much
thank
for joining
thank
us, guys.
You.
How
thank
can
you
people find you if they want to find you? Social media, right?
Yeah. You can Google me. Or Instagram, The Real Josh Carmichael, joshcarmichael.com. Our YouTube is I'm So Vain. You can find me there.
Easy to find. And, of course, stay tuned. Move over to the video channel and see his show coming up in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so we better wrap up. So
we better go.
Yeah, we
got to go.
Yeah. And
thank
Nancy,
you for
thank
having
you
us
so much.
Thanks
yeah
for coming on. Nice to meet you as well.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You, of course.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Jen,
thanks
as always.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.